Guys, we have a problem. Recent studies have shown that testosterone levels are falling in American men. Low T is linked to depression, low sex drive, and weight gain, so it's important to stay on top of it. You could go to a TRT clinic, but it's expensive, awkward, and in most cases, not necessary. You just need to stimulate your body's own natural testosterone production. It's time to check out the ultimate test stack at legacysubs.com. The majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep, which is why the ultimate test stack features their best-selling sleep aid recovery PM. Test X9 stimulates testosterone, T-Assist inhibits estrogen, and Recovery PM gives you the best night's sleep you've ever had. You're going to feel like a new man after trying the ultimate test stack for 30 days. If you don't believe me, check out all the verified 5-star reviews on Top Rated. Legacy Sports Nutrition is founded by 3-time world champion and SmackDown general manager, Mr. Nick Aldis, and 11-time women's champion and future Hall of Famer, Mickie James. And they personally use these products themselves. If you need more assurance, they're NSF certified, third-party lab tested, and made in the USA in an FDA inspected facility. And because you listen to this show, you can save 10% off your order at legacysubs.com now by using Gabby at checkout. That's G-A-B-B-Y. That's legacysubs.com. LegacySubs.com. It's time to level up with Legacy.
It's about to get Gabby AF.
We about to get Gabby AF, Gabby AF. We about to get Gabby AF, Gabby AF. It's nothing less because you rocking with the best. Now we about to get Gabby AF.
Hello and welcome back. It is another episode of Gabby AF. And today I brought on another one of my, I will say good friend now. We were just friends before. Now he's a good friend because I'm super excited to have him on. And it is Mr. Jonathan Coachman, who you guys all know and love. Hello, sir. How are you?
Well, I tell you
today?
What, there are certain shows that I kind of make a bucket list that if I get on that show, then I've kind of started to make it now. And this is one of them. I think you're dynamic. I think you're fantastic. I love your podcast. And it's an honor to be on with the guests you've had. The fact that you want little old me, I'm thrilled. Let's get to it.
Little old you, you're making it like you don't have kind of a basically impressive resume of everything that you've done. So I appreciate the compliment, but I think you're humbling yourself a little bit.
Well, I just enjoy it. I love talking about sports. I love talking about wrestling. And I think when you love doing it, that you don't really think about how big or how small or something is. I'm just at a point in my career and my life that I love it so much. And I love being around really good people and being on really good shows. So this fits all of that. So thank you.
Well, of course. And thank you for being here. And thank you for the compliments about the show. It's a newer show. We've only been doing this for a few months now. So it's kind of crazy. But we're getting there. And I think there's going to be some new exciting things to come at some point. Mm-hmm. So that'll be great. Speaking of which, social media, you kind of already implied that you wanted to talk to me about something when you quote tweeted, you know, that I was watching Raw last night. And the big thing coming out of Raw is our new women's champion is Becky Lynch. Before we even get into the conversation of it, I need to know your opinion on her beating out Liv because a lot of people are not happy.
Well, they're not, but they also don't understand the power and the star power you have to have if you're a champion. And Liv is as great as she's become and as good as she is, I don't think she's quite ready yet to be a champion. And what I mean by that is you got to show up at every single house show. You got to be main event, co-main event, every single house show. You've got to work 20, 25 days a month. You got to go to all the signings. You've got to be a person that sells tickets. And right now with Charlotte out, with Rhea Ripley out for 8 to 12 months, with Ronda Rousey no longer around for the last couple of years, you're talking about star power that you need. So I thought it was the safe thing to do once Liv gets there. And if I was Liv, I would be going home every single day and practicing in the mirror. Learn how to cut promos. Learn how to own your space. Because right now when I watch her, I don't believe what she's saying. She's a nice addition to the show. Is she champion worthy? She's not. And that's what wrestling fans need to understand.
I actually very much agree with you. I was hoping Becky was going to come out as champion. And I think the people that are so upset about it obviously love Liv, which is a great thing. And I think always feeling something in pro wrestling is the goal. So I think the fact that they're so angry about it is such a good thing for Liv moving forward, because I 100% agree with you. Even that backstage segment where there was like all the chaos going on and Becky took the mic from Jackie Redmond and was walking out, like that's a face of a company. That's a star. That's someone who can do that. Liv isn't there yet. She's just not. It doesn't mean she won't be there at some point. And Becky has went on record saying she wants Liv to get there. She loves her as a person. She has said, like, I've been her biggest champion and I can't wait for her to be this champion. You're going to tell me with ever which time it is now that Becky's champion, when Liv finally builds up to that match with her and wins it from her, it's not going to be such a bigger moment than if she just won it last night.
In a battle royal, no less, right?
Right.
You just hit a nail on the head. You hit everything correctly. Everything that Becky has done, give her a swag. And the other thing you normally don't see, Gabby, is a changing of a big title on Monday Night Raw or on SmackDown. Normally they save that for a pay-per-view. They had to do this. You have to put it on. But here's the interesting thing, because I hate dirt sheets and I hate when people go, oh, but they said this. No, unless you're backstage or in the business like you are and you actually talk to credible people, has Becky Lynch signed her new deal? She was on Ariel Helwani's show and she said, I got 2 months left. Mm-hmm. And then you read some of the sites that I guess have some of the stories correctly. None of them have all of them. But if she hasn't signed her deal yet, what are they doing? If she had, but it tells me that they have. They wouldn't have done this if she hadn't signed her deal yet. But to your point, it's all about stories. And if people haven't learned anything about the last 3 months, Gabby, in the world of pro wrestling, it's about building up. And a very important person in my life years ago when I was at ESPN, he said this to me. He says, Coach, he says, the key to anything great, you want half the audience to love me, half the audience to hate me, but all of them to watch. So you just described exactly that. People are happy. People are pissed. They're all watching.
Yeah, because now the investment's so much greater. Like, where would it have gone last night if Liv won? Like, everyone's like, oh, well, she was the one who's mad at Rhea and like, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Rhea's not coming back next week. So that if you want to see that rivalry, it's going to take time. What's Liv? Like, I'm not going to be sold on Liv Nia right now. I'm not sold on that at all. What, you're going to make Liv win and Becky's going to be gunning for the championship from Liv? Like, that doesn't even make sense to me at all. I think people just almost want something to also be angry about because it just makes it a little bit more fun. Like, come on. Like you know that.
That's all wrestling
kind of
fans
also
are.
True.
My entire career, I said, I used to meet people all the time. And I tell people, as many people have gone after me on social media, you're an idiot, you don't know, you've been gone too long, whatever. I'm still one of the smartest people in the room. And when I was there, they paid my mortgage for 10 years. And I've been to 16 WrestleManias. I've been a part of 15 WrestleManias. I've called several WrestleManias. I've been at the top. And when you walk up, I've never had a person insult me to my face, not one time in my entire life. So it's not real. And these wrestling fans love to sit at home, Gabby, and they love to play armchair quarterback. Now, I would do this. I would do this. Would you really? You couldn't even call a match at WrestleMania Access when it was called Access when we gave you the opportunity. So now they want to do all this storyline stuff with Liv and Becky and Nia. Think about this. It has to be believable as well. And with Nia, is it believable that Liv could ever beat her straight, clean?
Right.
No, that's not believable at all. And it is believable with Becky, though, but with her star power, it would make it even better. I remember a lot of times where we had guys that had, you know, different size differentials, and you have to create a match in a certain way to make it believable for the fans at home to say, yeah, that could really happen. Because if it's not believable, if it's not reality, then they're not going to buy into it. So I've got to buy into it.
Right. I agree with you on that completely. I also think like the rhetoric of people, because I've been seeing a lot of this on social media, like Becky doesn't put anybody over. Like she can't ever like do these kinds of things. She's always got to win. She doesn't need to be champion, blah, blah, blah. I do agree with that. I think Becky is Becky Lynch and she doesn't need to be champion. She doesn't need the title to be successful because of who she is. But also to say that she's never put anybody over is kind of insane to me, in
insulting.
My opinion, considering some of the matches that she's had. And you don't need to win to be put over, which is something I've also learned in what I've watched. Like when she went down to NXT and had that match with Tiffany Stratton and won the NXT title from Tiffany Stratton, she literally introduced Tiffany Stratton to the world. And in that, in my opinion, of who is now in going to be a star, Tiffany Stratton. Like, I can't say enough good things. But she even went on record and was like, that match, I'm incredibly grateful for, because I eyes were on me because I had that match with Becky Lynch and everyone knew what I was capable of. I don't care that I lost the title. That first match she had with Nia Jax, their first singles match on Raw, when Nia beat her in the first singles match that they've ever had together, everybody was talking about Nia the next day. Every That's single right. person was talking about the fact that Nia beat Becky Lynch. So you can't sit here and tell me that she only cares about herself and putting herself over and she has to be champion to be happy, because that's bullshit, in my opinion. I'm sorry. I don't see her that way. I think there's been a million times where she's had a different kind of character and I'm not into it. Like, she hasn't always been at 100 for me as a fan watching in the past 6 years that I've watched. And everything that she's gotten is because of how she is on the mic, in the ring, in what she does. And you need to kind of give her flowers in that sense of, she's now going to make this title, instead of just hand it over to a new person, it's going to be even bigger for whoever gets it next, for when Rhea to come back and have that feud, because she doesn't need to do that with Rhea again. They just had that match at WrestleMania. So I think people saying that are so quick to forget the good things that she does, because they're just so angry in their own like annoyance for it. It's just, it pisses me off for her to have to see that, because it's not true. I don't think she's sitting there saying, I'm only successful if I'm champion. It's all about me. And it's also creative, by the way, guys. Like, this is what they're telling her to do. She's doing her job. Like, calm the fuck down. Sorry. It just, like, pisses me off for her.
A few things. First of all, how has WWE not called you to bring you in to be a talent at some point? You're mine for the business. And this is what drives me nuts the most, is when wrestling fans, you've got to have a mind for the business, and you can only learn when you're either in it, watch it, understand it, talk about it, be around the people that you've been around, etc. So the one word I would associate with all the biggest stars to ever do it, and I've been around all of them, I don't care if you talk about The Rock, Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan, Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, worked with all of them, been in the ring with all of them. One word: selfish. The Undertaker recently on his podcast said he hates backstage because it's too nice. People are waiting to sit around and take it. When she changed the trajectory of her career and the women's division is when she came up with her nickname, The Man. Nobody in the history of time, in the history of business, had ever come up with that. A female calling herself The Man? You're damn right. So you've got to be selfish in your own character and with your own time. The other thing is, Gabby, there's only so much TV time. And the women have notoriously had very little of it. And so when somebody says, oh, she doesn't put anybody over, she's competing for maybe two segments a night, maybe three segments a night. And the reason you put the strap on her now is, look what they did with Roman Reigns and that title. How many times did you see leading up to WrestleMania, 1,340 some odd days, they made it a part of the storyline? That's where the team effort comes in. You got to have really good creative writing teams to make what she's doing and the journey make the title mean something. And that's what now they need to do with Liv. Create a scenario where she's been the nice, cute girl backstage, and she's fighting with all the big stars. How about we flip that on its head? How about all of a sudden we make her a little bit nasty? How about we give her a little bit of confidence? How about we give her a little bit of arrogance? I don't want to be friends with anybody anymore. I don't want to do any of that. I want that. I've got my eyes on her, and that's all I'm staring at for the next 4 months leading up to SummerSlam, or however long they decide to keep it on Becky. And that's what I would do. And for fans to sit at home, just enjoy the freaking ride, because it drove me nuts the last 3 months to watch them, you know, cry baby this, cry baby that, and The Rock fed into it. And then look, he's got the top three t-shirts. He's got all this stuff. Brilliant marketing. That's what they have to do. Becky has been a brilliant marketer, even telling the world, I only got 2 months left on my deal. Right?
Right.
So now she's putting the onus on WWE to make it mean something. And I estimate she's probably a $2 to $4 million a year talent. When I was there, you would be probably a high paid female was in the 200 to 500,000 category. You talk about not putting people over. How about making the other females more money, which is what it boils 100%. Down to.
I couldn't agree with you more on it. And I know I've said that like three times.
I'm smart. I know that.
It's
no, I'm kidding.
Yes, you're smart. We're both smart.
You're incredible.
No, I just think there wouldn't have been anywhere to go if Liv was the champ. I was so not for it. And I was a little nervous because when they did the battle royale and they were outside of the ring and I was like, oh, they're going to do it. Like they're going to do it. And I'm very much in the sense when it comes to WWE, trust the process, because I've learned that many times where someone lost that I didn't want to lose, or even just with The Rock coming back and Cody, I was one of those people where I was like, no, like don't take it. And then like they make it work and then it's more believable than ever. And you're more invested than you've ever been. I just think people are so soon to forget like what it's like to not have these people around. You know, when Becky was gone, when she was having her baby, who did everybody miss every week? Everybody was like, oh, can't wait for Becky Lynch to come back. Can't wait for her to come back. Now you're going to complain because you're like, oh, she was supposed to take a break. And now she's not taking a break anymore. Like, are you listening to yourselves? Do you people even know what you want? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need these people. And, you know, people were sick of Charlotte. Charlotte's been hurt. I guarantee you when the rumblings that she's going to come back, everyone's going to be excited. Like, we miss Charlotte. We miss Charlotte. Within 3 weeks, they're going to be like, oh, she's got a title shot already. Like, oh, Charlotte's so annoying. Like, make up your minds, because these are people that are making the impacts every single night. Like it, you just kind of need to understand it. She is going to be that person that's going to make you watch. And guess who's going to be watched while she's on TV? Liv Morgan, Nia Jax, because they're going to be in the ring with her. So you kind of need to think of it in that way. And I know it's a different way of thinking. And I like that they're so invested as a fan that they're upset. That's the goal and that's everything. But like, it's just going to make it so much sweeter when Liv is that heel turn that she's finally getting. Like, I'm so done being the nice girl. I'm going to kick the shit out of Becky Lynch, get the title, and I'm ready for you, Rhea, when you come back. And she's going to be such a different person than the person that Rhea saw when Rhea was there the first time. So it's going to make it a much more believable story, because like you said, Rhea is a big, strong, tall female. If you told me right now, Liv Rhea, I'd be like, she's going to squash her. Like, why wouldn't she? Makes no sense. But if you build her into like this monster and this nasty, she's in all black. She had that face down with Dominic too. I'm waiting for her to steal Dominic as Poppy, which I think would be phenomenal if she becomes his new, mommy or something, and like really gets under Rhea's skin. Like imagine the emotion in that for Rhea to come back and her man
jealousy
with Liv.
Oh my goodness.
There's nothing like jealousy between women, Jonathan, which you might not know about, but that's
I may have caused a little bit scarier over the years, but no, I don't know too much about it. Gabby, there is no, and I don't care what business you're talking about, there is no substitute for star power. And all these wrestling fans complain about all this kind of stuff. There are certain pillars in every single sport, whether it's LeBron James in the NBA, whether it's Tom Brady in the NFL, there are pillars that everybody else works around. Becky Lynch has made herself one of those pillars. And when everybody else comes and goes or gets hurt, then you've got to lean into the pillar. So the other thing I realized also is that the amount of people that complain online is this much of what is really watching out there. And that's the one thing we had to learn backstage, because when social media became bigger, you read everything about yourself and you believe everything about yourself until you meet the person who wrote it or said it and you realize, A, they can't hold a candle to me, or B, they're about 1% of who truly watches this product. But they're the ones that have all the time to post. So they're the ones that do post. Right. So I would encourage people to realize that what you read online is about 1% of what's really going on.
Yeah, social media is a cesspool. Completely. Let's be real. I say this all the time. It could be great. It's a great way for people to connect. It's a great way for people to express themselves. But it's one of the most toxic things
in the world. I just use it for content. That's it. I use it for content.
Yeah,
that's it.
I know. And I keep up with like maybe my shows and stuff sometimes, like the stupid shit. I laugh.
Are you a real housewife? By the way, do you like reality TV? Do you like The Real Housewives? Okay.
Yeah, but only certain franchises.
Do you like Potomac?
Here's my thing with Potomac. I used to like Potomac. I didn't watch one episode of Potomac this season. I fell off with Potomac.
So, Candace on Potomac.
She's my favorite one.
Her husband is on our show, Driving the Line. And he's one of our sports handicappers, because he's trying to make a name for himself outside of his star power wife, who's an incredible singer, all that. So we talk about Real Housewives all the time on our franchise over here because of him. So, yeah, I understand.
Well, you'll have to bring me on. No one's going to have a better Real Housewife
wait,
than me.
Would you be willing to come on Driving the Line, our sports betting show, and do something with us? Because if you offer, I will make it happen. I can talk to my team.
But this is my official offer. Of course I would. Call them up.
I don't need to call them up.
Call up the team.
I actually run the brand. So it's going to happen.
Okay.
Tell
them.
Okay. You in sports betting? Oh, let's go. Let's go.
Listen.
All right. Done.
People should listen to everything I have to say in any realm.
Yes, they will.
Sports,
no,
I think,
our audience would love you. Would absolutely love you. Absolutely.
Well, I'm down for that. All right. I'm in. Okay, cool. But yes, Candace is my favorite. And I said that before you told me you work with her husband.
That's
and
true.
So you can let him know that she is actually my favorite one on the show. She's also not returning.
No, she's busy.
Which is why I'm definitely going to stop watching.
So everybody has
And they just announced they're having a baby.
She is. And everybody has a nickname on the show. And his nickname is Chef Chris because, you know, he's a chef. So
chef.
We have graphics for everybody. He's Chef Chris, and we have his own little chef hat and everything on the show. So if you came on the show, I know this is Gabby AF. We just have to figure out what your nickname would be.
Interesting. We'd have to think about that.
It sticks quick because our audience is very loyal.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Very loyal. It sticks quick. So we'll figure something out.
So it can't be bad. I don't want to be anything
bad.
No.
You'll be babyface.
It's got to be a good one.
We have enough heels.
Ugh. Being a heel is so much more fun, though. I always said I would rather be a heel than babyface.
Do you know when they came to me not to make it about myself, but in 2002, no. when I became a character and not just an announcer, and I remember Vince came up to me in the gym, and he said, all right, this is what we want to do, because I'm 6'3". I walk around 250, 260, and he said, we want you to get into the ring, but in order to get the ring, and it kind of talks to what you're talking about with Rhea Ripley, if you're going to talk and you're going to talk trash, then you have to be willing to get beat up and get your ass kicked, but you also have to be able to get beat up and get your ass kicked.
Right.
And so I went to work, and I went to every house show. I trained before 2 hours a day just to learn how to bump, take back bumps, take body slams, everything like that, because I knew that eventually I knew I was really, really good at being a heel. And there was a time where I was more over than probably 80% of the heels we had in the WWE simply because I could do this. And then I'd go out and get my ass handed to me, or Bubba Ray would put me through a table. I've gone through 10 tables courtesy of him. But I wasn't even good. I had a lot of matches, but I wasn't a great wrestler, but people cared because I made them care about me and hate me. So you're right. It's so much more fun.
Oh, my God. The booze that Dom gets.
Incredible.
It's
I can't believe it, to be honest.
It's amazing. Yep. I love him. Like, I just think, and I always watch pro wrestling with my friends because I'm trying to make them into the world. So like when I have a roommate, she ends up watching Raw with me on Mondays, and my roommate watches with me all the time. She asks me questions now because she does watch a little bit. She's gravitated. She loves Mommy.
Oh,
she's
wow.
like, Mommy. Like she loves Rhea. And I remember we were watching one time and Dom comes out and he's just getting annihilated with the booze. Like, he can't even talk in his promo. And she was like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. Like, she literally saying this. She's like, that's so bad. Like, you can't even get a word out because you're getting booed so much because people hate you so much. I go, so beautiful that you say that because you're so innocent and watching. And I go, that's fucking amazing that that's happening. And she was like, really? And I explained to her, like, that kind of emotion, he's getting more emotion than 90% of the people that show
100%.
Up. Like, and I like explained to her, and she was like, oh, like, that's like, I didn't think about it like that. Like, that's really cool to think about. And like, I just love watching with people like who have the innocence of that and watch it with the emotion in that way.
You should show, you should
I
show
like,
her
I
videos.
Like to have those conversations.
You should really show your friends.
Oh, I do.
The videos of now that they've kind of pulled the curtain back just a little bit. Like, you know, when the guys are getting ready to go out of the gorilla and you see those, that would never have happened during my first run in to see Gorilla. My God, no way. It's Wizard of Oz type of stuff. But when I would stand there and I had two different entrance musics. My first one sucked. My second one was a banger. And when that music would hit and the crowd would go bananas and I'd walk out, oh my goodness, it was music to my ears. And then the night that I got to go toe to toe with The Rock for the first time as not an equal, but as somebody who wasn't an announcer, and he got the crowd to call me a popcorn fart. And Rock always taught me, because we always went overtime, And that particular night, I remember we had 12 minutes. And we snuck Rock in. Nobody knew he was going to be there. This was like 2006, 2007. And I remember we were going over. So I said, Rock, this feels a little bit longer. He says, Coach, what have I always taught you? I said, well, you've always taught me that if it's really good and we know it's good, there's nothing that anybody can say, meaning Vince, of course. And he goes, this is going to be great. And he was the one that called us because I was doing a thing with Eugene. This was years ago. He's a great character back in the day. And so we go out there, and sure enough, he comes down. We waited probably 45 seconds as the crowd's just chanting, popcorn, you're right. They're just going. And he just – and you've seen it in his recent promos that leading up to WrestleMania. Right. He just waits. And it just waits and waits, and the crowd hates it, and they hate it, and they hate it, and hate it. And then – at the right time, then you continue on. And that's the beauty of knowing you got the crowd always right here in his hand, which is why people don't understand. Mm-hmm. During his first run, Gabby, when he would do interviews and promos on SmackDown, SmackDown was a taped show. On Tuesday nights, it would run on Thursdays. He was the only superstar that was allowed to do a live promo on a taped show because of the interaction with the crowd. You couldn't fake it. That's how good he was back in 2001, 2002.
It's so crazy too, because I've said this before, like I find it such a blessing for me to have witnessed this Rock of what we just saw, because I didn't know The Rock from back then. Like I don't pretend like I knew that era. I wasn't watching pro wrestling. So like I got to see it through such a different perspective than other people that were like, oh, Gabby, you're gonna get to see heel Rock. And I'm like, okay, but this is the first time I'm even seeing The Rock in my own with my own two eyes to kind of get my own opinion about it. And it was such a thing of beauty. Cause like I watch every week and it's been 6 years of me watching whatever. And still I've never seen anything like what he's done. And it just goes to show, like, I don't even need to know his history. I don't need to know any of that shit. Doesn't matter. He can come on for 5 minutes. He can come on for a few months and do whatever he's got to do. You just know the difference.
But here's where you're wrong. Like here's that. Where you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you why. Because what The Rock just did, what you just saw, was unbelievably unselfish, unbelievably courageous. But I'm going to tell you why. Because he's had a great history with movies, but not all of his movies have been hits. And back in the day, his movies were tanking so much that he signed a deal with Disney for four movies like $50 million, like $12 million a movie. And then since then, Fast and Furious. So now this year, at this time, Gabby, what's coming out this year? One of the biggest Disney movies of all time, Moana 2, right? So when you're in Moana 2, which every kid that sees you, that's who you are. It's a kid's movie. It's a kid's franchise. It's going to be his big comeback. And then you come back. You think you're going to be a baby face. You're not a baby face. And in order to do what they did for 3 months, what did he have to do? Social media videos. The swearing to make it reality, because nobody as a heel doesn't swear. And then you're going on a 10-minute rant, going after Dave LaGreca, all these kinds of things, putting that to the side, knowing it's coming. That's courageous to me, putting his movie career, in my opinion, to the side to embrace heel Rock, because heel Rock didn't exist when he became a movie star. It was too dangerous. People don't go to the movies then.
Yeah.
Pay the money to see him.
Yeah.
That's courageous.
I mean, listen, there's no one that does it like he does it. And what he did for the buildup for Mania and how they kind of transitioned because of what the fans wanted. And that just goes to show the power of Cody Rhodes as well, who I'm one of his. I can't even talk about Cody because people are going to think I'm like such a stan for Cody, because like I just love Cody Rhodes as a person, as a human being, as a wrestler, as a promo, as a talent. He just booked like a huge movie apparently.
Naked
too.
Gun
like,
too.
Good for him.
Naked because, Gun too. Yes.
Yeah. He deserves 100%. The world, because every live show I've gone to, that man is, and a lot of them do this. I'm not saying he's the only one that does this. This is what the WWE does. The way he interacts with the kids and just like what he loves it so much. Like he's there every minute. He's on SmackDown and Raw. He's doing everything. Like you can't tell me there's a better face of the company as champion right now. And the whole thing, when I was at Mania, I was on the floor when he won. People were sobbing like everywhere. And I was like, this isn't even bullshit. This isn't watching a movie that like hits you hard. This is real life of someone who's affected people this deeply that they're emotionally crying, watching his wife and his family come out and hold him. I've never seen anything like
that
before.
Real life.
And it's happened before. I haven't.
It's real life. And here's I'll give people a little behind the scenes on how it works on the road. And this is how great this man truly is. We crossed over for maybe a year or two early on in his career, and he really was kind of in that gray area where he wasn't really getting anywhere. And, you know, Vince and them, they didn't really believe in him. And so I was there for the beginning of that. And so for him to believe in himself and come full circle is amazing. But here's how far he goes in thinking, because I said guys have to be selfish. And a lot of times they use that selfishness in every aspect. They'll get to the main event. They'll make all the bonus money. They'll do all that. But then they either go party or they go to their room and they don't give the extra stuff. So we go to Europe two times a year for 10 days in April and in November. They just went there. In fact, I think they're still there. And there's a story that came out. So what happens is we have a heel bus and a babyface bus so that when you get off, the fans that are there don't realize, oh, we're all friends. So you got, you know, the good guys and the bad guys. He has rented his a car on his own dime. Why? To stay after the show, not make the buses wait because you're having another 3 or 4 hour drive to the next town. There's a show every single night, Gabby. He's renting his own car to stay after, take pictures, do all that, kiss the babies, then take a shower. The boys, ladies, they've all been gone for an hour, and he's by himself in the back of a car sacrificing so the fans can have that time. That's what a main event world champion is supposed to be. Every night, showing up, doing your job.
Yeah, he's just amazing. And I've had him on my show before. And even when I had him on the show and I was talking to him about, I think it was like Hell in the Cell by the time I had him. And I was asking him a lot about himself and praising him and whatever. He took the platform to like put over so many people that, and not himself. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, of course, you know, he's a confident man, as he should be. But I remember he talked about Logan Paul, who's also someone I want to talk to you about. And like the biggest thing that people took from it, he said, I think Logan Paul's having the best rookie year almost of all time. Like, how good is he, Gabby? Like, how good is that guy? And we talked about Logan for like 10 minutes because Logan, to me, he shouldn't be as good as he is. And he's so good. And I think that's why people hate him as much as they hate him, because they don't get it. But something you actually tweeted about Logan, because Ronda Rousey was talking about Logan Paul a little bit. And she said that she thinks he's actually getting better treatment, special treatment that like she never got when she was there. And you kind of said that Logan responded saying like, I don't think she's a hater. You know, I think she is just unhappy with how it went for her, blah, 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 blah. And you agreed with him and you said, you know, it's why they let him come and go. It's why they let him do what he does, because what he brings to the table in who he is, the millions of followers he has, his podcast, the people he brings on, like it's different. It's not even, you can't even make it in the same conversation. So I wanted to talk to you a little like about that. Like if you wanted to.
Of course. And I will go all the way back to when I was at ESPN, she gets beat by Holly Holm and every wrestling fan says, hey, it's okay. She can leave UFC and walk right through the door and be a great WWE superstar. I was on First Take the next day. And I said, that's not going to happen. I said, she's not going to walk right through the door because WWE doesn't take broken stars. And she said she didn't even understand how she could cope with losing to Holly Holm. So it was some 16 months before she went to the WWE. People forget that fact. So I was absolutely right. Well, WWE came to me when she came in because she was pissed and she remembers, she takes receipts of what everybody says about her. They're like, do you think you need to apologize to her? No, I don't think I need to apologize to her because I was right.
So sensitive.
So then for her to come out now, Gabby, and say, oh, I didn't get the opportunities. She didn't take the opportunities. I was there for a year and a half in 17 and 18. Do you know how many times I saw Ronda Rousey show up early? Zero. Do you know how many times I saw Ronda Rousey show up and do work in the ring? Zero. Do you know how many times that she could have gone to the Performance Center after her very first match where she got rave reviews that Becky just talked about on her entire book tour was the worst thing that could have happened to her? Because then she thought she was great. She had 3 or 4 high spots. That was it. And then you're going to complain some 5 or 6 years later that some guy who's an absolute natural is going to be able to show up and have banger pay-per-view matches. Well, guess what? I had Hurricane Helms on my show last week. He's been the only trainer that Logan Paul has ever had. Do you know what he said on my show? He said, nobody works harder than Logan Paul. Nobody he's ever worked with works harder than Logan Paul. He just has a lot going on. The business is different now. There's social media. There's YouTube. There's influencers. Mm. That's who he has been. So for WWE to say you got to come in and work full time would have been foolish, because they want the attention he brings and the greatness he brings along with him. I'm done with Ronda Rousey. The business is done with Ronda Rousey. All she does has been a complainer, and she had her own dressing room when she was on the road in the WWE. No, that's not how it works. The Rock did not even have his own dressing room back in the day when he became the biggest star in the business. That's not how you ingratiate yourself with the rest of the women's locker room. And Becky said that. Right. These are not my words. I heard her allude to it. And I was there when it happened.
She said she refused to tap out too, right? Didn't she say, I've never tapped out in my career. Like, I refused to tap out in the match.
Yes. She didn't want to. You talk about putting people over. She didn't want to put anybody over. She, in her mind, it's real. She doesn't understand storytelling. And when she came in, they literally bent over backwards for her to hide herself, travel in, spend all the extra money for private jets to make sure, because she did have star power. Absolutely, she did. What she did with it is up to you. And what she did with it was take her ball and essentially go home. I have no ill will toward Ronda Rousey, but she was probably 30% of the star she was capable of being, and now wants to complain about it all these years later because Logan Paul does put in the work when she did not.
And you know what's an also interesting thing that I think is a difference between the two of them is Logan Paul's very openly talked about that he's a fan of pro wrestling and he loves it. I think that is something that, because he came in with the respect for the other people and knowing what it was and being grateful for the opportunity, he comes off that way to me, where he's like, I loved pro wrestling when I would watch it growing up. Like, you know, sure, he's an influencer. And with that, I will say too, he always had that, that aura, you know, him and his brother, everyone's like, they don't deserve to be in sports. Like, they're just these two random dudes who like are influencers. They have podcasts and they're known for being like, fuckboys is really the word for it in this set. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like to curse, but you know, I'm also, there's a lot of fuckboys in my life. So it's easy to say, rolls right off my tongue. But so like, that's kind of the stance that he has, which I think only makes it better for him to be this heel in the business. And he embraces it so much, which is why he's so good at it. But you can tell he puts the work in. Like, do you see his body? He's jacked. He's coming in. He's doing that freaking thing he did with Ricochet across the ring where they – like, that was one of the most watched things of all time. And what he's doing is bringing in the fan base that was not there before. And I'm sorry, but it's true. The people that are my age and younger that are on TikTok, that are on social media, that are know who he is and don't know anything about pro wrestling. Oh, he brings John Cena on his show. Oh, he brings this guy on his show. Oh, he's talking to these people. Who are they? Oh, okay, let me see what Logan's doing on WWE on Friday night, because I love him. And, you know, oh, maybe it's cool. Oh, he's going to be at WrestleMania. I got to buy the pay-per-view. I want to see him. And that's what he's doing. So for people to hate him, that's fine. Hate him all you want. But there's no one bringing in the eyes of that age group, that fan base, in any company right now, in my opinion. I think what he's doing is changing the way for it. It really, really is. And people that want to fight against it, you can't fight against what these influencers and social media, it's just the era of that right now. That these people are everywhere.
You hit the nail on the head. Oh my gosh. It's so different how things, and a lot of people, jealousy is a crazy thing in this business. And whether you're a fan and you're jealous of the fact that he's just a lot better than you are, and the appearance. And I've always used this saying in my career. I work really, really hard behind the scenes to make it look really, really easy in front of the scene. Mm. And that's who Logan Paul is. And the one thing we used to laugh at is when certain stars would sit around and watch the big stars get their shine, and they would complain week in, week out, month in, month out, and not do a damn thing. They would show up to the building and sit there and wait for a rider to walk up and go, you're going to be a part of this tonight. Oh, really? Fantastic. I haven't had a match in 5 weeks or 6 weeks. And those are the people that never make it in the business. So those are the ones that get ticked off when somebody has some negotiating power, like The Rock recently had, like certain people certainly had, like Roman Reigns. If you have negotiating power, why would you negotiate to show up every single week? Because I was there during the era where you did not take vacations. My first run, I was there 10 years. That's 520 Mondays. I was there for 519 Mondays. To say I was burnt out at the end would be an understatement, and I was then working other sports jobs to segue out of wrestling. So I love the fact that the business has changed and guys can then negotiate what they want to do, because I don't believe – if you could watch Tom Cruise, Gabby, every single week on whatever show it is, would you feel like you really needed to go and watch that show every single week just because it's Tom Cruise?
No.
Of course not. I've always said that, and I was always – and a lot of us did, but we couldn't say it vocally because of who was running the show. And if you weren't so into it all the time, coming to every show, then you weren't dedicated to the business. I thought that was complete bullshit. And now you're starting to see with different people in charge, it's insanity to think somebody should show up every single week. Only Michael Cole is the person that has never taken a week off in 25 freaking years. He just doesn't do it.
Absurd.
But other than that, as a performer, it is good to take time off. It is good to not be on TV. So when you come back, like Logan Paul, it's special.
Yeah, and I think you need to make people miss you too. I think that's important to be like, oh, can you come back? Like, I haven't seen her. Where is she? Like, what's going on? Like, it's, I just think that's kind of everything in life. Mm-hmm. It's good to miss people. I think it just makes it more special, like you said, when they are there and you don't take advantage of them. Because when you see it all the time and it's oversaturated, you almost take advantage of the fact that you see it all the time and you don't care 100% about it anymore. It's just a 100% lot. But, you know, the, I think The Rock liked to say, like, he was making pro wrestling cool again. I think Logan Paul's making pro wrestling cool. Like, I really do. He's the one who's making it cool in the sense to be his fan and also start to like pro wrestling.
And also watch something that's not a clip on YouTube. And watch a show that's actually promoted. And a lot of people don't understand how this works, Gabby. It's a promotion. Whether it's boxing, whether it's the UFC, whether it's belt, whatever it is, it's a promotion. The word promotion is you promote it. And in order to promote something, you have to have star power. And to have star power, you have to have stars. It's a trickle-down effect. And most people don't understand how it works. It's why Dana White has been so successful, even though a lot of people hate him. He knows how to promote. This is a promotion. Yeah. It's not your show. It's not your company. It's a promotion, and it's entertainment, period.
Well, it's like when he called out Rey Mysterio at that UFC event and everybody was
Thank you.
Are you kidding? Like, who else would have been doing that and made it must watch? He made that. He makes that title so much bigger 100%. Than it is, if you ask me. Like, what he did with it, that he brings it with him to every UFC event, to the boxing matches, to all these things. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's sitting in front of him, and they show him on the Jumbotron. They show him on the screen every single time he's there because of who he is. And guess what's right next to him? Okay, yeah, his beautiful fiance, but also that fucking belt is right there. Didn't he take the pictures in bed with her, too, when he first won it? Like, he made those, like, viral photos, like he was in bed with the belt.
Every man
like
in America was jealous of him and continues to be. Because no YouTuber should have a famous, like, she does a lot of things, but a famous, beautiful fiance and rub it in your face.
Yeah.
And rub it in your face and tell you how great it is. I love that about him. But do you also think that TKO would have spent $8 billion on a company if there wasn't going to be cross promotion or if it didn't make promotional sense? Of course not. Mm-hmm. Of course they wouldn't. That's why they did it.
Not to mention, with the Netflix deal coming up next year, this is the kind of people you kind of need to be able to promote those things. Because that's just what it comes down to. It's so many different factors of things that make sense and are building blocks for these smart moves that are happening.
Absolutely.
And WWE right now, to me, is bigger than, hotter than it's ever been. Granted, you know, I'm newer in the business and as a fan, 6 years, whatever. I think it's like a must-watch thing. I think WrestleMania was the best WrestleMania I've ever seen. Granted, I wasn't at 15 of them like you were, or 16 of them like you said. And I think it has a big, big part to play on Paul Levesque being now this head guy in charge. And we talk a lot about this new era. I think the talent seems happier. I think the storylines are better. I just think everything's clicking on a good level. What are some of the things that, you know, obviously you've been there for both. Mm-hmm. You've been there for the Vince era. So in your opinion, what are the things that stand out to you and what you are seeing as changes, and kind of talk a little bit about, you know, your time there, when he was the guy.
There are good and bad. I was there during the Attitude Era. A lot of people say it's the best because we had arguably 20 guys that could be main eventing WrestleMania. That's one thing I don't see right now. And when you put so much into one storyline, that other talent takes a back seat. And I really felt like I don't like the two-night WrestleMania. I know how much goes into it. And for a long time, WrestleMania, Gabby, was a reward. And a lot of talent felt like they deserved to be on the show. Well, then when they made it a competition, meaning it's like a pyramid, and the higher you go up, the less people there are. And all 12 months, how competitive are you to get that spot? Because the main event spot's a $1 million bonus for each guy. And to me, when there's competition to get on WrestleMania, but when you have two nights, now everybody gets on WrestleMania. And I don't believe that should be the case. And I thought the Philadelphia crowd also, because of what was coming on both nights, I thought they were kind of dead leading up to it because they were waiting for the payoff that they'd been so invested in for the last 2 years with Cody Rhodes. So that's one thing I don't like. I don't like three-hour Raws. I don't like two-night WrestleManias. But maybe I'm not as hardcore of a fan as other people. I just think it's a lot to ask because a lot of people go to both nights. And I'm exhausted at the end of one night. What do I got left for two?
Yes.
Now, the other part is during the Attitude Era, we went from the company being worth about $100 million to $1 billion. What was the secret sauce? Well, the secret sauce was you had a ton of star power that was competitive every single day when they walked in. You could see on any given day The Rock huddling with Brian Gerwitz over in the corner, working on their stuff all day. You could see The Undertaker coming out of Vince's office. You could see Triple H working with Shawn Michaels, whoever it was. You could see Road Dogg and X-Pac doing their thing. All these guys that were main event stars that would literally cut off their left leg to be in a main event on a Monday Night Raw. A two-hour, mind you, Monday Night Raw, where you come out maybe at the top of the show, and then you're in the main event. There's no 30-minute matches. There's no you come out four or five times. None of that. And so, to me, I would love to go back to that. But you can't discount the popularity that you're talking about. But I think they need to tighten it up a little bit. And I think then a lot of the talent who sit around and wait to be told will then come and be proactive. And I think that's when you really – I mean, Kofi – people don't realize in New Day that Kofi went through like four characters before he landed the New Day, and he was on the way out the door. But he was constantly coming in. Let me try this. Jamaican accent. All these different things. He was a hustler.
I just watched that clip the other day.
What's that?
I just watched the clip of him when he like didn't have the Jamaican accent or something. Someone sent me this clip and he like lost it. And I think it was Cena or The Rock was like, weren't you just Jamaican or something? Cause he was like in the middle of the crowd and I was peeing my pants laughing. Cause like, I never saw that clip before. I forget fuck, it's going to bother me. I think it was Cena, I'll figure it out, but keep going.
Think the dedication to the product and also evolving and learning how to use it for what I call the brand within the brand. A lot of stars don't look at themselves as a brand. The really successful ones do. And a brand means everything. And it doesn't just mean showing up to be on TV. That's the culmination. When Rock was at his height, you know, he used to wear white T-shirts every single day. Do you know why he wore white T-shirts every single day? Because he was on the road 28 to 29 days a month. I asked him one time. He goes, I can just throw these away. He'd wear them one time, throw it away. Wear it one time, throw it away. He'd go to Target and buy, you know, 30 white T-shirts because he was hustling. Yeah. And he was always, how can I make myself better? How can I do Saturday Night Live? How can I be in a movie? How can I do Scorpion King? And then Cena came along. Ric Flair told him, I was there. And he said, if you're going to be the world champ, then you got to act like a world champion. And world champions pay for all of the bar tabs. So one tour, Cena spent $70,000 on bar tabs for all of us. I asked him, I said, what's your American Express look like? He goes, it's on fire right now. It's on fire. And the last night, Dean Malenko walks up to him, whispers something in his ear. He takes his beer gab, he sets it on the thing, and walks and disappears. I said, Dean, what'd you just say to him? He goes, well, after nine nights of drinking all night, being the first one up going to the gym, he's got a 60-minute Ironman match tomorrow with Shawn Michaels. So John Cena got up and went to bed. The next day, I was the first person at the bottom of the stairs. We traveled together. You could smell the beer and the alcohol coming out of his pores, but he had just gone the distance for 60 minutes because that's what you do. And I'd like to see more of that from more people now, the ladies and the guys.
Do you think, is there anyone to you right now that you think could, if they started in that mindset or really, you know, pushed the pedal into it, could be those people or even not even that big yet, but like you have your eye on
them? I think
Damian
Priestley could be really, really, really big. I think Jade Cargill looks like $1 million. The problem is if I was her advisor, if I was her agent or her talent coach, and I would tell this to any talent, if you cannot talk, you cannot get over. I don't care how good of a wrestler you ever, ever, ever are. Kurt Angle never became the superstar he was, even though he was the best in-ring worker I've ever seen, until he became a character and learned how to talk and was funny. And so Jade Cargill could, just because of her look, but she's got to learn how to talk and cut a promo and make it believable and be dominant. And it's so in most people's nature not to be arrogant, not to be confident, that you really have to work on it. And I ran a room on the road, Gabby, called the pre-tapes room. I was in charge of all the home video interviews. So if anybody wanted an interview with The Rock, they didn't get to come and do it. I did it. Entertainment Tonight, Access Hollywood, Extra, all of them, they could not come backstage. No, 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 no. That came to me. I would sit him down. And that's how I learned. And a lot of how I am and my is learning from guys that I was around. So Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, she's been, you know, obviously for several years. I still think she has another level that she can go to.
I agree.
But you've got to walk in, write your own promos. Say, listen, here's what I'm thinking. Because you never know, Gabby, what's going to hit. All three members of the New Day were out the door when they came up with the New Day. If you don't throw stuff against the wall, no matter if it's us doing this or a superstar in wrestling, you never know what's going to stick. And you got to try it. So those would be two people, one female, one male, that I think has another level. And also Solo. Solo, who showed up last week on SmackDown. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. How different is he than Roman Reigns? And I loved the fact that he came in and he was like, you talk about a boss. He was like, is this person here? Take me to him. That's like a mafioso. Yeah. So I think those kids, and I've known them since they were little kids. I know I age like a fine wine, but I knew them when they were this tall. And I think that he's got a really good upside if they give him good creative.
It's so funny you mention these people, because the first person that comes to my mind is someone who I love that I don't know why I can't think of this word. I had a lot of coffee today. But like Chelsea Green is someone to me who she kind of made her way in the sense of this character that she has that's just so fucking entertaining. Yes. And she was someone who was released and then did everything and was like, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to go here. I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to do all this kind of stuff. And now she's back. And sure, she's not the champion, or she's, you know, doing what Liv or Becky or any of them are doing. But like she utilizes her time so much every single time I see her on my screen. And she's one of my favorite people every Monday night to watch. And it's just the little things like that. Could I see her in a year maybe transcend into a champion? Fuck yeah, because I would love to watch her every single week. And I think it takes those things. But that was her being like, this is what I want to do. Let's try it out and keep going and be creative. And I love to see stuff like that, because I think, I mean, Cody's story in and of itself, he like, look at where he was. He went off, made his own thing, and then came back. Like, this is what people are doing that want what he wants. And that's why he is where he is. And it takes time and it takes hard work. And it takes this kind of, you know, you have to have this passion and confidence in yourself. You can't tell me Cody doesn't, even when he was someone that, you know, wasn't doing what he wanted to do. He left knowing he was going to be where he is now.
But think of how hard that journey was when, I mean, look at what you're starting. You're starting your own brand. The sky's the limit for you. But the first year of anything is hard as hell. And we all know it.
Yeah.
We like to put on a brave face, but that's why most people quit. It's much easier to quit than feel like you're not wanted. Oh, I didn't do it. I quit. And that's what they do. And that's why you see all of these studies that say after the first year, the success rate is this. Because in the first year, the not success rate is this. Because everybody quits. And wrestling's the worst business for that. Because they let it dictate. Again, this is a lot on what Vince created, which I hated a lot of it. But at the same time, just like in the movies. How many people try out for a movie? Thousands for one spot? How many times you see a story? I had $11 in my pocket when I got friends. I had $12. You know, yeah. It's really, really hard to be successful at this level in this country, in this world, as a human being, and it's easy to quit. And when I see somebody that doesn't quit, man, I'm invested. Because most people look at people like that and say, I wish I could be like that. I wish I had the guts to put myself out there. I don't go back to my hometown, Gabby, in little town Kansas, because everybody that I went to high school with is still there. And they're working the 9 to 5. They never chased their dreams. They had a kid when they were 21 or 22, and that's it. Life is more than that. And a lot of these people we're talking about, they see that. But the hard work, you cannot sacrifice. There is no shortcut to success, and I don't care who you are.
It's that's like very motivational. I'm gonna have to call you whenever I'm going through something and just be like, I'm in a bad mood. Like, is my life gonna be okay? Like, I'm still doing it, but I need someone to give me some good motivation. I mean, we definitely have to wrap soon because we're going very long, but I feel like I've been talking to you for 5 minutes, even though it's like almost an hour. But I have to ask because, you know, I have seen a lot of things change with, you know, Triple H coming in from Vince, and I just think what's been going on with Vince and these accusations and stuff is just so mind blowing in a sense of someone with so much power, getting away with the terrible things that he's been accused of and all these kinds of things. And it's just such a little heavy cloud on something that I love so much. And I have to ask someone who worked with him as long as you did and, you know him like you do, like, what was it even like to work with him? Were you shocked when these things kind of came out and happened? Or, you know, was it kind of just like, well, fuck this guy, and now I don't ever – it tainted me in the whole sense of everything. Well,
that's where I am now. That's exactly how I feel now. I will wait until it all shakes down, but where there's smoke, there's fire. And obviously when you've already made payouts to all these people, clearly you're admitting to something. I'll start with what was it like to work with him? Because I was very, very close to him. He still calls it, they still call it to this day, the biggest rib in the company. When he set up an hour long rib to have me arrested in the state of North Carolina, that fact it happened. He loved me. And there was a time where I would do anything for him. I once went to Kansas City to stay in a hotel to fly back Christmas Day to shoot a skit for Monday Night Raw so he could then go to Florida and spend Christmas night with his family. And then I'm stuck by myself in Stanford on Christmas night. Those are the things. I never told him no. And I went to Afghanistan. The next year, my now ex-wife was pregnant with our daughter. And I got beat down courtesy events the week after because I didn't go. And it's supposed to be optional. You could choose to go or not to go. It was a war going on over there. I'd already gone. And I get a beat down by The Undertaker and Batista after Monday Night Raw went off the air because as a punishment. So when I think back to my entire life, and I'm the only person walking God's green earth that was a part of the first XFL 2001, my early 20s, and the XFL in 2019 or whatever, because Vince asked me to. And in 2018 or whatever it was, 19, he said, Coach, I need you to do this for me. Vince, I got you. I flew coast to coast, LA to New York every week for the XFL because he asked me to. I never told him no. And in hindsight, I should have. Am I surprised at some of these allegations? If I'm being honest with you, no. Because nobody gets more out of power than Vince McMahon did. We used to joke on the road that he would die on the road because he loved it so much. But Gabby, imagine where you work your whole life to build up this huge company, and he never used to sleep. Well, hell, I wouldn't sleep either if I was worth $1 billion and my baby and I ran the whole thing and all these people were scared of me. But in hindsight, what it is today is the way it should have always been. And if it was like this back then, maybe I would still be there. I don't know, but I love sports too. So am I disgusted? Yes. Am I disappointed in myself that I once revered this man and would have done anything for him? Yes. And so moving forward, I've talked to a lot of people about this because I have a lot of guilt that I walk around with because maybe I should have seen something 20 years ago. But what do you do? You're in your 20s. You can't say anything. He's powerful. And so you have to work through all of that to understand that it's not my fault. And I didn't do it.
Right.
And riding on his private jet for 3 years, every single week, you get to know somebody pretty well. And there was a time where I really, really respected him. And I did learn a lot from him. But that's where it ends. And would I go back now? Yeah. Yes, I would go back now. But 6 months ago, I did an interview. And the answer was absolutely not. I would never go back because of him and only him. So they've got a lot of work to do. But I think Triple H has turned out to be the right guy. And I think if they can treat people well in the right way, then unfortunately, Vince, the legacy will always be this instead of what it should have been. And there's nobody to blame but himself for that.
Right. And it is a shame because, you know, you have these hard, diehard fans that were have watched since they were children. And, you know, I feel like a lot of them kind of feel like I hate that I liked it because I almost feel guilty that the person that was in charge was a guy like this. And I think bringing in someone like Triple H, who is now almost revitalizing the entire thing and having stars like Cody Rhodes, who is could not be more opposite. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it does so much more for everyone than people even realize. Like, it's so much more. Pro wrestling is just not a, like, I don't even know how to explain it to my friends because they're like, what's it's, do you even call it a sport? Like, is it sport? I'm like, it transcends through being a sport, which is why. And it's so lame and corny to say. I'm such a mark now. It's like,
I love
disgusting.
It though. I love it. I love that you are.
Like, it's emotion and you care. You just care about these people and you just want to see good things happen to the people that you like and the people that you hate. You want to see them get punched in the face. And it's fucking awesome because, you know, they go home and you hating them makes them happy because that's what they want. So it's just, I just think being a fan at this time, it's, I came into it at such a good time as a fan of wrestling, I think. And it's just like a blessing to be a pro wrestling fan. And I'm going to make all my friends pro wrestling fans. I'm basing
and you're
going to
be a star because we're going to make this show can't miss. It already is. And I'm telling you right now, there's not enough people. And I'm not saying this because I'm on your show and it's a stick. You're incredibly talented. And sometimes it just takes having the right person believe in you to get you in front of the right people. So then you can really, really soar. And that's all this business is about. There's so many talented people out there that never get that shot. You deserve that shot. And I will do everything in my power to try and help you get that shot because you deserve it. And you're really, really, really good.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. It really does. It's like coming from someone like you, I have so much respect for you and you know what you're talking about and you know what you're doing. You've been around for a long time. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. That means the world to me. Also, I know you're friends with The Rock, so we got to get him on my show.
I'll see what I can do. I was texting with Brian the other day. Do you realize, you know, Brian's his right hand, right? I sublet my very first apartment in Stanford from Brian Gerorts in 1999.
Oh
yeah.
God.
He wanted to move to the city. Listen. He didn't want to live in Stanford, so I took his apartment because he couldn't get out of the lease. That's how long me and Brian go back.
I've met him a couple of times, and he's incredibly kind and, like, nice, and he's obviously amazing at what he does, too.
Very, very nerdy, but, though. You know, it's not what you expect. He's not, like, this big writer or anything. He's very small, but he's incredibly witty. And nobody.
Yes.
Imagine having somebody that you trust with every word that comes out of your mouth. And that's – he's been The Rock's writer since day freaking one. He wrote my first – my very first interview was with The Rock in Chicago, January 8th, 2000, and he wrote it.
Yep. Wow. So that's the guy I got to be.
That's the one. You get in good with him.
You got to get Brian to get The Rock. Listen, it's I got to tell you this story. So The Rock was at, because this is how much my family knows what I do, by the way. This is just a fun side story about it. The Rock's been like my dream guest to get on. I'm also a huge tequila is the only thing that I drink. And, you know, Taramana and me, I think, could be great friends if they wanted. You know, I'm just saying I would put it back there and talk about it and drink it every episode. I would drink tequila every one of my episodes if they wanted to put a little bottle of Taramana here, Rock. I'm just saying.
Maybe we make that a sponsor.
Listen, once he meets me, I don't think he's going to be able to say no. I'm just going to be like,
no question,
Mr. Rock, sir, how you doing? But this is a funny story because people think I was lying. I tweeted about this and everyone thinks I'm lying. Like, I would say the week of Mania – my brother lives in like North Jersey, like a really nice part of North Jersey. He's a bodybuilder, my brother, because he's a firefighter. So he's at the gym and he's like jacked up. And he calls me and is like, The Rock's working out at my gym. And I was like, really? Which makes sense because he was doing stuff in New York City and it's North Jersey. I don't know. It's all close. It's all the same shit. People that don't realize like everything's close kind of. And he's like, The Rock's at my gym. And I was like, he's at your gym? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, was he by himself? Did he have security? He goes, no, he was just working out by himself. Like, first of all, who's going to fuck with The Rock? You know what I mean? Like, I thought he just maybe would have security. He doesn't want people to come up to him, whatever.
He doesn't.
Nobody. He didn't care. Nope. Didn't care. The owners of the gym were like, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah. The owner said he comes in every once in a while. Super nice. Like, they were talking to him, whatever. So I go, okay, Mike, did you maybe walk up to him and say, like, hey, you know my sister has a fucking pro wrestling show. She's a huge – she's going to be at Mania. She's going to be at WrestleMania. She's doing a live show. Like, you know, show him my social media. Maybe for him to even just add, like – put something out, a shout out. So I go, did you even think about it? He's like, Gab, I don't even know. I don't know what you do. I didn't want to do that. I don't know. He's just doesn't know. This is my life. My brother is a huge bodybuilder, whatever. If I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger
you would do it.
Anywhere, I would walk up and be like, this is my brother. He loves you so much. Like, blah, 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 like whatever. Because that's how I think. My brothers, and this is most men in my life at least, like, that's not what they think about. And I tweeted about it and everyone's like, The Rock doesn't work out at like public gyms. Like, why would he do that? And I was like, why the fuck would I lie about my brother not understanding my life and not thinking, let me try to, you know, get my sister over with The Rock or something. Like, you never know. Selfish. So, you know, now he's off all my Christmas lists.
Well, that's going to be our pie in the sky. That's going to be our shooting star for Gabby AF is did you to a point. Yeah. Where The Rock will come on your show. And hey, he just did a 10-minute long thing on David LaGreca. Okay? So The Rock loves everybody. He believes in everybody. It's possible. Let's make that a bucket list goal today.
Manifestation. I'm going to write it down. Let's end it with
that. That's it. That's where we're going.
Yes. Perfect. Well, thank you so, so much for joining me. Seriously, this was one of my favorite interviews ever, and I had so much fun with you, and I appreciate you taking the time. This was awesome.
All right, well, you're going to pay me back because you're going to come on my show. And you're going to be a huge sports betting star. So I loved it.
Wow.
Thank you. I had a blast. I could do this all day. And I will see you soon on Driving the Line. All right?
Yeah. I'm excited. And now everyone that's listening to this has to
there you go.
Listen to
and
Driving
Behind
the
Turnbuckle.
Obviously.
That's our wrestling show. We have two different big brands that we have going. But Gabby's going to be all over all of it. So it's all good.
All over it. I'm going to be everywhere. You guys are going to be sick of me, but it is what it is. And then until next time, guys, I will see you all next week. Until then, LYMNB, love you most, no backs.